All right, so I have gone back and forth this week trying to figure out how to preach on this week's gospel. For those of you that were here, have been here for at least the last year or two, you were here while I attempted to navigate kind of our presidential election season without doing my best not to focus on the politics, understanding that there are people who vote for each candidate in this place and in our lives and in this world and or in this country and around us. The temptation in my position is to use the power of this position to push for what I think, how I view the world, how I see or how I think we ought to govern ourselves as people. And I fight as hard as I can to avoid that. And I know that's not everyone. A lot of ministers will stand up here and make no bones about telling you what they think about the politics of the day or our elected leaders or who you should vote for and things like that. I can't really be that person. And I'm sorry if you want me to be. For me, I want to present to you a message of the gospel, and I want to let you take from that what God is speaking into your heart and let you make the best decisions you can with that information and in light of that reality. And I hope I've done a pretty good job thus far, but I'll tell you what, when you have a week like this, when the president says something about a large portion of the world, calls it a word that I would not typically use from the pulpit, and then I have a reading that says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" One of the disciples says about the tiny backwater town that our Savior was from. I'll be honest, I have had a hard time reconciling what I'm going to say this morning. But the reality is that one of the greatest dangers, I think, of being a religious person, a spiritual person that has kind of, that is ascribed to a particular faith tradition as we have, or as many of us have in this place, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is that we tend to, just by our nature, to become more and more confident in what we believe and what we think. It becomes very easy for us to be so convinced of what we believe that it becomes very easy for us to belittle or denigrate other people who don't see things the way we do. I know I've spent a lot of my life doing that. I make that mistake all the time. But the reality of what I believe we are called to as Christians, what it means to be in this place and to follow Jesus, I think first and foremost is to recognize our own need in this world. My hope and my prayer, what I understand our faith to be about, is that we start everything from a place of need for God's grace and God's love, God's resurrection, and God's redemption. What we're doing is gathering together to be reminded and to participate in God's good love and joy in us, God's forgiveness of us through His Son Jesus, and God's invitation to us into the kingdom of God as heirs and children of God because of what Christ has done in this world. We can never forget our need. We can never forget that we are in process. We have not arrived. This is not the realized kingdom of God that we live in today. We live in a world that is a mixed bag, where some of the most beautiful things that we can imagine happen every day, and some of the most horrific. And we are participants in both sides of that equation too often. Well, too often on the one, and not enough on the other, I guess I should say. The reality of our lives is that we live in the tension of both good and evil, sin and being a sinner and being a saint. We live in the midst of that. And I think in weeks like this one, it is important to remember that. To remember that unless we are full-blooded Native American in this country, we came from somewhere else. And amazingly, for each and every one of the people of our heritage, whoever was already here thought the newcomers were garbage. I have Irish, Italian, and Croatian blood in me. Trust me, everyone thought I was garbage when I first got here, when my people got here. And I'm thankful that I get to be a part of this place, to be a part of this country that allows us to worship in this way and gathers us together. I can get self-righteous and I can say how evil and terrible someone is. And yes, there are things that have been uttered this week from the highest office of our land that are simply racist and unconscionable. But here's what I have to keep coming back to. Our president and everyone else that I interact with, that I see, everyone else that I love or that I hate, is loved by God as much as God loves me. The very thing that reminds me that I need to be open and to love everyone who comes, whether it's into this church or into our country, into our town, or whatever it is, the calling that has been placed on my life and on our lives to be welcoming, to make room, to be warm and inclusive to those who gather. That same thing that I was offered when I came here as a refugee, when I came here as one, as a sinner who needed salvation. It's offered to you and to me, it's offered to everyone else. When God looks at this world, He doesn't divide it up by nation or people group, He doesn't divide it up by race or language, nation or creed. He looks at the people that He has created in the world that He has created and made for us and sees something beautiful and something good in the midst of the wreckage. And God spends each and every day sending the Spirit into the world, into our hearts, to call us to be a part of the transformation of this world from one of darkness into light. Our God stands off and says and calls to us by name. And many of us, like Samuel, think someone else is calling us, and we don't know what's going on. Others of us, like Nathaniel, say, this can't be true, because that's a backwater town. How can our Savior come from there? Others of us just hear the word and follow. I don't know where you fall in the spectrum. I know I've been all over the place in my life. I've struggled with my faith. I've had seasons where I haven't really had to worry about it at all. I wrestle with the reality of who we are and what we do. But the one thing that I am able to have confidence in, the one thing that I think really centers and grounds me in everything that we are doing here, is the reminder that I will always have a home here if I want it. Unfortunately, I can't say the same thing about our country. But I can say that about our church. And I can say that about our God. You and everyone you know and meet and love or hate is welcome here. Our God loves them just as much as our God loves us. Our God is preparing a place for them in the kingdom of God as His children. Whether they ever want and receive it or not, it is there for them, it is there for you. Wherever you are, please know that the kingdom of God is for you. Please join me in helping to continue to create a world and a space where people know that. And when people interact with us or hear about the church or hear the name of Jesus, what they associate with it is not judgment and exile, but is inclusion, is love, is mercy, and is grace. That's my hope for our church. Not just St. David's, but our whole church. I want anyone that walks into a Christian place of worship, I want them to be welcomed and received and to know that they can work out who God is calling them to be in that place. Because my sermon this week was going to be about call. I had this great thing worked out to talk about what are you called into. And that's a part of this. The reality is what we have to ask ourselves, what are you called to do? How is God moving in your life? And just like this week in my sermon preparation, there are all kinds of curveballs. There are all kinds of hiccups along the way. My job isn't to tell you who to vote for. My job isn't to tell you who to like or dislike. My job isn't to tell you who to get along with. You can be in a church and not get along with everyone. It's not ideal, but it's how this works. In the midst of whatever you're wrestling with, in the midst of whatever you're doing, this place is here for you. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that's true as long as I'm here. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure whoever succeeds me in this place will do the same. Our table, where we gather and receive and share in the body and blood, the bread and the wine, is a table that is there to offer to you and to me each and every week, each and every day, the promise of God's love for us, the promise of God's forgiveness in whatever we've done or haven't done, the proclamation that you are beautiful and lovely, that God revels and relishes in you. I hope you don't feel this way today or ever. But if you feel like someone that is on the outside looking in whatever way, whether it's in this space, at work, at home, in your social life, whatever it is, please know that you never have to be on the outside looking in here. No matter who or where you are, you're invited to this rail and to this table. You're invited into this space. It breaks my heart to think that anyone would look at you or anyone else in this world and judge you or demean you or belittle you because of where you came from, because of what language you speak, because of what you believe, because of who you are or what you do or what your job is or how much money you make or don't make. There are all kinds of ways in which we can look at this world and divide ourselves up into little groups and call some better and others worse. We can spend all of our energy trying to make sure we're in the groups that most of the people around us think are the better and out of the groups that most of the people around us think are the worst. But in my experience, I'm going to end up in one of these groups that are the worst. Sometimes I'm going to spend months there. And I'm really thankful that I have a God who is with me in it, who invites me to break down those categories and those labels, that encourages me to forget about all the ways in which I judge myself or I let others judge me. To have a God who looks at me and says, I am the ultimate judge, and I declare you righteous, and I love you. And the only label you need is child of God. I pray that you and I, that all of us can hear that here this morning and every day. I pray that it can live inside of us and call us ever more into the life that God has created us for. I pray that you can do your part and follow the call of God in your heart to bring more and more light into this world. That the shadowy and dark places of this world might get smaller and smaller every day, because we have been a part of it. And because our God, who is God of all, has called us into it. Amen.